I'm Liz Jones, race and culture reporter at KUOW, with our series, Upon Arrival. It's about how new refugees in the Seattle area adjust to life here. For many, the trauma of their past casts a long shadow. It's estimated about 1 in 3 refugees experience mental health issues due to violence, displacement, and loss. In this final chapter, we bring you the story of a Somali family struggling to be okay.
Can you say your name?
I'm called Osman Mohammed. I'm just a refugee. I ran from my country since back 1993, and I just came to Kenya for issues of security and protections.
Osman will give this introduction many times during his early days here as he seeks help for his family. Here, he's talking to a social service provider.
United States of America, and I'm just...
Osman is 27, tall, slim, polite. He spent most his life in a refugee camp and arrived to Seattle ready to charge forward.
While I came to U.S., I thought that I stepped on the paradise step. I found the peace country. I love it, and absolutely I wish to get as soon as possible to be a better life.
He wants to be a pharmacy technician someday. But on this day, after about a month in America, he's at a Somali nonprofit in crisis.
How kind of a challenge I'm having, guys. What am I supposed to do, ma'am, while I'm new?
So what happened? Tell us about the story.
Absolutely, ma'am. Let me just tell you all of this, you know.
Osman's been dealt an unusually tough hand here. He witnessed a crime a few days back. It seems to reopen old wounds and throw him into a familiar tailspin of panic. Once again, just like so many times in Africa, he's wondering, how will I survive?
You ran out that way.
No, come on, I'll show you where I ran.
Later, Osman shows me what happened.
You see?
We're outside his apartment, his family's first home in this country.
On Friday, there was killed a man here. On Friday.
Right here on the sidewalk?
Right here.
You saw it?
I saw it. I saw the man was being shot. Take for the pistol up like this. Pop, pop.
A gunfight erupted right outside their porch. Osman was taking out the trash. He dropped it and ran. His wife and young daughters, ages 2, 4, and 5, watched from the bedroom window.
My kids, they saw the blood. They saw the cops. They were being crying. They were not knowing what to be done.
A few days later, another shooting right outside. Osman's family refuses to stay another night. As he talks now about this ordeal, and in the weeks ahead, Osman thinks about his daughters. He's still haunted by violent memories from his own childhood. Will his girls now go through that too?
They even told me that, Dad, we are not going back to our apartment. We will be dead if we go there.
Your girls say that?
Yeah, the girl says that.
We ran from bullets in Africa, Osman says, and again, we find bullets here. Osman was about 4 years old when his family fled Somalia's bloody civil war.
We ran from our country because we were being discriminated a lot. We were a people who were just a minority tribe.
Brava. What is it? Oh, Brava.
Yeah, Brava, Brava.
Brava.
Brava, yeah, yeah.
In Somalia, he says his tribe is treated as the lowest, the worst.
In Somalia, even some people, when we are just a person to them, they do like this. They don't like us.
They put their shirt up above their nose.
They make us like we are smelling.
That's far from the worst of it. He says the clan warfare was constant.
24/7, no one day rest. There is not a one day single rest.
A scar behind Osman's ear traces back to that time. His mom refuses to tell him how it happened, but Osman knows it's connected to the day his younger sister died. He says hostile men attacked their home. They raped and killed his sister and his aunt. His parents fled to a refugee camp in Kenya, where they still live, 2 decades later, in a precarious situation. Somalis now make up one of the largest groups of refugee arrivals to the U.S. Seattle is home to the third largest population.
Go straight. Yeah, go straight.
In the months ahead, when I talk with Osman, I'm struck by how his emotions often overtake him. Little things trigger his thoughts of Africa. Like this one rainy day, in the car, he's giving me directions to an appointment, and starts to cry about his parents.
I'm still challenging with my kids. I still remember my parents. I'm not sleeping well. Too much worrying, too much thinking back with my parents. What's going on with them, you know?
This will be part of Osman's challenge as he tries to set up a life here. He's torn between his future and his past. He's struggling to provide for his children here and racked with guilt and fear for his parents in Africa.
My father, my mom, they're not...
He worries he's abandoned them in a desperate hour. The Kenyan government wants to close their refugee camp and his parents may be forced back to Somalia.
What did you think it would be like when you got here to America?
I was told that I'm in paradise, you know? But I found that still... And I hope that I will forget for the past consequences what I have been passing in my country.
It's hard to hear, but he says he hoped he'd forget what he's gone through in the past. Somehow, he seems to feel it more. He pulls up the collar of his jacket to wipe his eyes. The U.S. considers it a public health priority to provide mental health services for new refugees, but there are many barriers to care, including cost, accessibility, and cultural differences. Osman says he's never talked to a counselor about what he's been through. After the shootings outside Osman's apartment, his family stayed with other refugee friends for several weeks. Eventually, they got a new apartment in Federal Way.
Hi. Hi, is your daddy here?
Yeah.
Osman?
Yeah.
Yeah, Baba.
Hi.
Osman's three daughters let me in.
Hi. Oh, thank you. Are you taking my hand, pulling me inside?
It's Osman's day off work, and he slept in.
Today was my off day. I was just relaxing. Oh.
5 months have passed since they arrived. Osman seems more at ease. His wife, Rama, has just made injera bread. The girls sit on the kitchen floor to eat it.
They like to eat on the
floor. Yeah, they like to eat on the floor because they are still on the life of the village. Yeah.
They've had other setbacks since they arrived. They've moved four times, and a car hit Osman in the crosswalk, then sped off.
The car just hit me and ran from me.
He shows me the hospital bill.
Okay, I'll show you.
But he's got a job now, washing dishes at a large bakery. It's a long bus commute, 2 hours each way. Plus, a Muslim nonprofit is helping with their rent for the first year. Things are looking up.
The grandmother's calling, she said.
That's the grandmother calling right now?
It's Osman's mom, calling from the refugee camp.
Hello, hi. Halmarsuk. Halmarsuk.
Yeah?
Halmarsuk.
As they talk, Osman buries his head in his hands, crying. His father is having more health issues.
No help.
No help at all. I'm here.
I hear you.
His daughter touches her small hand to his cheek. Osman says sometimes this crying scares him, makes him feel dizzy. He'll just be crossing the street and it hits him. His wife says she's never seen him cry like this. A little later, we take a walk outside.
Did you see the Starbucks?
Yeah.
Osman is laughing, smiling again, and philosophical about life.
So sincerely, if I told you the truth, Lizzie, you know, you cannot achieve or reach your aim if you don't struggle. So now I'm struggling.
And he's okay with the struggle. Because here, there's also hope that he can heal and move forward. And that's something he hasn't felt in a long time. In Federal Way, I'm Liz Jones, KUOW News.